So it's really wonderful to see you all here today and be here this morning and in the Zendo and in Zoom. So thank you for coming from online, from other cities, other states. Maybe there are other cities, other states, other countries in here as well. So welcome. And a bow of gratitude to my teacher for the opportunity to share this morning. And I hope it's of some encouragement to you. Galen Roshi and about 10 of our Fernga friends are probably over the United States right now. They have about 4.5 hours left of their flight from Japan. So they left at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and they'll get back at 2 o'clock this afternoon. It's like magic. It will be really wonderful to see them and see more pictures and hear more stories of their 10-day adventure. Observing and participating and visiting different temples in Japan. For many of them, their first time to go to Japan, so that makes it even more And I'd like to start by reading a couple of verses from the Dhammapada. And the Dhammapada is in the big collection of the Pali Canon, but it's a very it's an anthology of very succinct expressions of the Buddha and really, really beautiful and inspiring teachings. So these are the first two verses. It says, all experience is preceded by mind, led by mind, made by mind. Speak or act with a corrupted mind, and suffering follows, as the wagon wheel follows the hoof of the ox. All experience is preceded by mind, led by mind, made by mind. Speak or act with a peaceful mind, and happiness follows, like a never-departing shadow. I believe that we all want to see clearly, to see in such a way that benefits others, to see with our Buddha nature, to see with the mind of Buddha nature. And at least for this human mind, there's lots of distractions and struggles, challenges that get mixed in to that, that I carry around and deposit in various ways. That obscure that mind, that obscure that flow that's there, that undercurrent that is there. And I can usually drop those struggles and distractions into those three poisons, into greed and hate and delusion. I can have that little basket and something arises or a reaction happens and I can drop it into that. And I can also practice to see my way and walk my way through that and practice by remembering the three pure precepts. Later on in the Dhammapada, the Buddha offers the three pure precepts and says, doing no evil, engaging in what's skillful, and purifying one's mind. This is the teaching of the Buddhas. So going back to that opening verse, all experience is preceded by mind, led by mind, made by mind. Speak or act with a corrupted mind. Speak or act with greed, hate, and delusion, and suffering follows, as the wagon wheel follows the hoof of the ox. And then taking that second verse, all experience is preceded by mind, led by mind, made by mind. Speak or act with a peaceful mind, and happiness follows like a never-departing shadow. So how encouraging that was to me to think of, often in our ceremonies, for example, the Jukai ceremony where someone is receiving the precepts, we will chant the three pure precepts, and one of our translations is, I vow to refrain from all evil, I vow to do all good, I vow to live and be lived for the benefit of all beings, and holding that as a never-departing shadow, and just So often I'm entertained, not as much by my own shadow anymore, but of Scott's shadow, because it can be quite entertaining. If a life's just right, if you're walking down a sidewalk, and the ears are doing this, the tail is going, and it's right there. It's always there. And we always have that to lean into, that never departing shadow of our precept practice, of the three pure precepts. And for me personally, and I think collectively as humans, it's clear that this is not easy, and it wasn't easy in Buddhist time. But I'm grateful that we have a Sangha and we have these teachings to explore and encourage each other in this practice. And again, as the Dhammapada said, everything is mine. And so then think, well, because of that, it shapes our experience in life. So if we want to shape our experience towards liberation, toward freedom from suffering, from greed and hate and delusion, then that means nurturing and fostering a particular kind of mind. Nurturing and fostering that mind that is there and flowing, that shadow that is there and flowing. So to continue to deepen our practice and to be a benefit in the world as it is, we have this rich material right here to engage with. And so we sit. We sit maybe by ourselves at home. We sit in the Zendo together. But in Zazen, we just show up and we sit. We allow what needs to happen to grow, to unfold, to be clear, to be resolved, to love, but not to leave out, but not to hold on to, but not to abandon. And to nurture a mind that may come forward with strength and confidence and also be a refuge to whatever way we are, just there, just here, moment by moment. And creating a place of trust, creating a place of safety in ourselves to see more clearly, to see with the eyes of refuge, to see with the eyes of safety. And can we be a companion for what's right there, for what's right here, with our and within our own mind and with others' mind? You don't have to be a fixer. You don't have to be one who understands. Maybe in just our sitting, we cultivate the energy created by not doing something, by not necessarily directing ourselves to do, to fix something, but to allow that space and to keep allowing that space, to walk alongside it, sit beside it, accompany it, and develop the capacity for wisdom and compassion to interrupt the greed, the hate, and the delusion that comes into our own thinking, and to offer that to others to help them as well. So taking refuge in a space that says, oh, okay, this too. Oh, this too. Okay, this too is allowed to be here. Not in a way that's, I'm not speaking of condoning something that's harmful, but in our practice to sit with something and just, yes, this too is allowed to be here. In a few weeks, I guess the end of May, we'll have another Bodhisattva full moon ceremony. So this is our time where our collective Sangha mind comes together to renew our vows and the precepts, to say them together, to chant them together, to inhabit them together in this particular space. And again, together we're nurturing and fostering and taking care of this mind, this shadow that's with us all the time, as we did this morning in all of our ceremonial activity here. And I know that my mind isn't always what it ought to be or what I want it to be. And when it's that way, things can get messy, internally, externally. But again, we can continue to deepen our practice and bring our many different selves back to the cushion again and again, back to a chanting service again and again, back to our bowing again and again, and breathe and just look deeply at how we're led by the mind, made by the mind. And sometimes an understanding appears at an unexpected moment to remind us that there is another mind that is completely open and spacious. And this is a pretty mundane and ordinary story, but it really opened up this teaching for me in a different way, a way that I'll try to share in words, but it won't quite reach it. So barely. So Wednesday evening, the usual routine is to take the black trash bin out to the curb and the green recycling bin out to the curb. So I got from school and took the two bins to their place in the curb, 3 feet apart, 2 feet away from the curb. And because Thursday was the day. Thursday was the next day for trash pickup. And this particular Thursday was recycling pickup, which is great. And so I come home Thursday, and a wonderful Bodhisattva had already brought the black bin in that had been emptied and placed it on the other side of the temple. The green recycling bin, the recycling hadn't been picked up yet, still in its place, all ready to go, which was not unusual. Sometimes if they don't come on Thursday, they come on Friday, which is great. I was not grumbling at that point in time. So Saturday, I get home Friday. There's a green recycling bin all ready to be picked up. And it's Friday. Sometimes they come on Saturday. Sometimes on Sunday. We'll see what happens. So Saturday. Then there's this kind of history of grumbling that comes on. I'm gonna have to drag it. So this is happening. And I listen every now and then from my window because I know the sound of the truck and hear, pick it up and put it back down. And then I know I can go get it and bring it back in. Well, it was late morning. This hadn't happened yet. I'm sorry. I know it will be picked up. And so I'm taking Scout on one of his strolls, and we go out the gate. So we are taking a right past the recycle bin, still waiting to be picked up. And so my eyes go across the street, and I'm like, oh, well, there's what I already picked up, because they moved them. Or, okay, they just haven't done our side of the street yet. I look right. See any other bins. Then it was empty. It had already been picked up. And I just gasped. See, I was like, no. And, you know, here is this moment. My mind had taken me on this grand adventure that involved a lot of other people. And it had taken me on this, it had led me around. In a way, it had narrowed this event, and it wasn't until my entire body made contact with that green plastic band that, oh, there it is, right there. That's our relationship with all things. It's not just our mind contacting something. And so it wasn't until my entire being made contact. You know, my hand just went to it and opened it. But it was that contact of my entire being that in a very ordinary and mundane way, brought forth these teachings in a different way. And describing it doesn't really reach that what happened in many ways. But it was an important teaching for me. And I can imagine that we all have those stories about encounters, and that just, if you've ever seen the mind-blown emoji, that's what it was like. That's really what it could, or to put words on a feeling, or put a picture to a feeling or a quality, that would be one. And then I could allow, you know, gratitude to come in for the people who came by and picked it up and all of the many different things they're going through in their day to make that happen and the many different conditions that, allow that event to happen. So opening up that space and feeling gratitude for them and feeling gratitude for the neighbors across the street who had already taken their bins in. And, you know, that my eyes just happened to go a little bit further out. Otherwise, it was right there. It was like tunnel vision of my mind. And until, you know, my senses kind of let go a little bit and went out a little bit more, I was still containing something and fixing something. And there's still a warm-hearted feeling around it. It was, oh, Vicky, there you go again. Sorry. That was just really, why did you, you know, it wasn't like that. So I'm grateful for that. Because those threads can get in started as well. So I think, you know, moment after moment, there are these innumerable opportunities to make contact with the spaciousness of within ourselves, within all beings. And especially during this time, I'm in my last 4 weeks of teaching school, and that has a lot of different meaning right now, but it's a time that which the energy and the anxieties and the annoyances are a little bit on the rise. And the joyful things too about it. And, you know, can I allow during this time to receive refuge from the green recycling bin and to acknowledge the refuge in making contact with that in such a way and not leave anything out. That comes up with, I teach sixth grade band, so that's 11 to 12 year olds, basically teenage. It's a constant check for me. Am I leaving any of them out in my heart, mind? And how am I doing that? And sometimes it's also holding them too closely in some ways. But they'll all sit in there for yourself over and over and over. They will go in there and there's contact and I'm not leaving anyone out. And I can come into that, just that openness and spaciousness. And not letting my mind be led around by a certain story. You know, my past experience, my past experience with recycling was right there in the moment. It wasn't in the past. It was right there. And I was putting the future in there too, all in that moment. And it was just a good reminder and a good teaching. So we're all in this, what I'll call just to come as you are party. Here we are, come as you are party. And we sit and we can receive that refuge and wrap ourselves in the precepts and enjoy the complexities of what our mind wants to do and sit alongside the pain of what our mind wants to do. And I just hope that we will, just as we're doing right now, and we'll continue to do, encourage each other's minds, and continue to nurture our collective Sangha mind in such a way that allows us to be a benefit to ourselves and allows us to be a benefit to others. Thank you all very much.